Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-545-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-545-MYTV. Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows, pause and rewind live TV, even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-545-MYTV. 1-855-545-MYTV. Cancel the cable, cut costs, and get more. 1-855-545-MYTV. 1-855-545-MYTV.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter.
Jason Peter
under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Here we go. We are back again with the Big E Sports Show this weekend. And before we get underway with our final interview, we want to encourage you to go to our radio website, and that is eradiosports.com. We love hearing from all of you, and you can continue to bring those emails in at info@eradiosports.com. And our final guest today, of course, is Jason Peter, a three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska. He joins us each and every week for our Under the Helmet segment. And college football, you know, things should be a little quiet right now. I know we got the big signing date coming up in February, but Manti Te'o, we didn't get to delve into this too much last week, Jason. But my first question to you is, I mean, this really has been a publicity nightmare for him, a very sophisticated hoax. My question to you, JP, is, was he the victim?
Yeah, I think when you take a step back and you look at it, and with everything that we know now, and I'm sure there will continue to be more facts that come out. I'm sure once the Tua Sopa guy kind of gets a chance to really tell his story, but all the parties are starting to come out now, and I think initially he was the victim. I mean, you look at all this, and I think you can question his judgment. You can question, I think, some of the things that were going on over the course of this relationship. But at the end of the day, I think it's a naive kid who, I don't know, I mean, I think it's almost a lesson for a lot of people because there is this comfort about being able to date from behind a keyboard or pay your bills from a keyboard or, buy a sweater or a pair of shoes. And I think we automatically just think, well, that stuff won't happen to us, right? I'm not going to be the guy who has my identity stolen. I'm not going to be the guy who gets catfished, from some online dating thing. And
yeah.
I think, that he was embarrassed. And look, I've had my fair share of Manti Te'o jokes out there on Twitter, and it's more about how could a kid kind of let this happen. But I think that, like I said last time, last week, was here's a kid who's been so driven in football and in sports his entire life, and especially when you start to date, you're talking about getting into high school. My daughters won't date till at least their third year of college. But for most people, it's probably, you're getting in your sophomore, junior year. And he's kind of tunnel-driven, right? He's going to play big-time college football, and he's got dreams of playing in the NFL. And dating was never maybe a priority for him. And now all of a sudden, he's at Notre Dame, and he's got all this attention on him, and he's almost looked at as like the savior, and goes back to when he turned down SC and goes out to South Bend, and he's one of the most polarizing figures in college football in terms of the athletes. And he never, like I said, never had a lot of time to date and to do that sort of stuff. And then I just think, you know, that's kind of all played into him not having a ton of experience, not knowing the signs of when something's legit and when something's not. And I think he just got duped.
Well, I will say that I don't agree with how he handled everything, but, you know, it's one thing until you walk in another person's shoes. And I think you said the key word, Jason. You said, this is so embarrassing. I mean, being the victim of a hoax, he didn't know what to do. But I have to wonder, he got some poor advice, obviously.
With how to handle everything?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, he waited, what was it, I mean, at least a week to come out. I know who his agent is, and it's Tom Condon. And he is now with CAA, but at the time when I was coming out, he was with IMG. He had tried to recruit me. You know, he wanted to be my agent, and my roommate Wistrom ended up going with him, and I ended up going with another guy just because we were kind of in the same position, and how can your agent be selling both of you to the same teams? And so we decided we would split, but I got to know him, and he's one of the best agents. Now, I don't know if this was necessarily, if he was calling the shots here or if there was a PR department that maybe at CAA that was deciding how they were going to handle everything. The best thing, I think looking back, was he probably should have tried to get ahead of the storm. But now, you know, this goes all the way back to early December when he found out that Lene Kukua is not a real person, and yet he continued to go on national television, whether it be the award show, the ESPN award show, the Heisman Trophy presentation, and he talked about her. He referenced her as if it was a real person, even though he knew that it wasn't. So he kind of kept digging his grave, so to speak, and you know, I think he probably thought, man, what am I going to do here? You know, this thing, you know, and you got to try to put yourself back into the mind of a young kid like himself. And, you know, you're just kind of going to bed thinking, I just hope tomorrow I wake up and this whole thing is done. And maybe everybody will just forget about it. And, you know, the reality is when you're that big of a person, people aren't just going to forget about it. And I think in part it was such a big story because, you know, you look at all the awards that Manti Te'o won, and pretty much every defensive award out there. I think that this whole story, prior to it being a hoax, I think it played a big, big part in him receiving those awards because it plays into the you know, the sick athlete that ends up, you know, going out and scoring 50 points and winning a championship-type game. And you know, it's the odds are stacked up against you, and the adversity that's looking at you, and this great athlete just kind of busts through the wall and doesn't let it affect him, and he goes out and has one of the greatest games he's ever played. And I think that builds that legend status up, you know. And I think that was part of why he received all those awards. I think there were a lot of guys out there this year, a few off the top of my head, that probably, you know, you look at the entire year, you'd probably say, you know, that guy's probably had a better year. But I think the whole story plays into it. And you're talking about people voting for somebody. These people that are voting, there's a human element. They get sucked into the fact that he lost his girlfriend and his grandmother within 24 hours. And how could a guy go out and do that and play as well as he did? And you know, I think it contributed to all that stuff, and you know, I just think he got to a point where he was like, even though I know it's fake and she's fake, I'm just going to keep going with it because right now, you know, what am I going to do? Go on national television at the Heisman Trophy ceremony, and Chris Fowler's asking me about you know, my girlfriend dying, and I'm going to say, oh, by the way, it's all fake. You know, I mean, what a storm that would have created at the time. But, yeah, I don't know if there's any right way to necessarily deal with it. I think everybody could always say, well, you should have done this, you should have done that. But I think looking back, you probably should have come out maybe sooner than he did.
And I should remind all of our listeners, too, that you are a Heisman voter. And I know we briefly discussed this last week, but did it influence you at all?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, you know, I said last week, I mean, I wasn't overly impressed. I just, maybe for me with Manti Te'o, I know the quality of football that's being played in the Big Ten.
Okay.
And even though he's at Notre Dame, they play a pretty much a Big Ten schedule. And I just didn't think that he was that dominating. I mean, you know, here's a guy, a middle linebacker, you know, he had a bunch of interceptions, and I think that kind of helped with the way that people looked at him. But, you know, being an interception, certainly you gotta know what you're doing out there, and you gotta know your scheme, and you gotta know what the opponent's doing. But, you know, lots of times it's just, hey, the ball gets deflected, and you're standing in the right spot, and boom, it's kind of like sacks. And I think, you know, football players or coaches know that there's more to statistics. There's more to a football player than just statistics. But I just wasn't overly impressed with him as, you know, being the best football player in college football. I thought he was a top defensive player, but I wouldn't say he was the best.
Jason Peter is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. You can go to his website at jasonpeter.com and always join us online for a wonderful conversation at eradiosports.com. Of course, Manti Te'o, you know, this well-rehearsed lie, he is being held accountable. But what about the folks, you know, behind all of this? And, you know, what was the motive? I mean, this was a sick joke.
Yeah, I know. And you know, even to add fuel to the fire, I mean, it turns out the girl he's talking to, the so-called Lene Kukua, is a guy.
Oh, my.
Which adds to, you know, her embarrassment, because everyone's thinking, how could you just get duped like that? I mean, here you are talking to a guy. And, you know, it just, I couldn't imagine being in his shoes right now. But, yeah, I mean, there's got to be something wrong with this.
That's probably one of the reasons why he didn't want to disclose it, too.
Yeah, I know. To find out that you're talking to a man this whole time, and, you know, not only is it humiliating for him, but just, I mean, think what everybody is thinking of this Tua Sopa now. I mean, you know, to carry on for, you know, however long it's been since, you know, they first originally started this relationship, you know, to pretend to be a woman this whole time, I mean, and with the hours that they were spending on the phone, I mean, that's like a split personality type thing, where you have to kind of be this woman, and you're not slipping up at all, and you're thinking like a woman, and you're saying words that would come out of a woman's mouth.
Hey, Dustin Hoffman, Tootsie, right?
Yeah. I think people are looking at him now saying, well, you know, maybe there's some kind of man crush that Tua Sopa has on Te'o. Maybe there's, you know, something behind it. Because, I don't know, at some point, you know, doesn't it goes beyond just being a practical joke that you're playing on somebody. Now it's like, This is my life. This is, you know, I'm waking up in the morning and I'm Lene Kukua. I'm not Renaya Tua Sopo. I'm Lene Kukua. And that's disturbing.
Well, you know, you think too, as far as with Manti Te'o, the residuals of this, I mean, will he ever be able to trust someone again?
Yeah, I know. You know, that,
now, this has had to, you know, shook him to his core.
This is the thing. I think if you get sucked into a situation like this, you know, will his trust be shaken here? Yeah, but I would say he's still probably that naive kid who wasn't that educated on relationships or on women. And I think, you know, not to say he'll get duped again, but I think he'll probably be pretty open to falling in love again. Because here's a guy, I mean, look, it's almost like he was so desperate to fall in love the first time. And I think that sometimes doesn't change. I think you know, for somebody who doesn't have a ton of experience, I think he probably will take a little bit of time, and maybe he'll do a better Google search on his next girlfriend, but I think he'll probably find somebody, and I think it will probably be pretty soon.
Only have about three more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with Jason Peter. And Jason, one of your favorite people are making big-time headlines down here, the former head coach at the University of Nebraska, Bill Callahan. I'm just going to let you fill in the blanks. I'm going to step aside now.
He's not ours anymore. He is officially the Dallas Cowboys.
Now you go easy. Come on, Jay.
And, on the day that Jerry Jones says, Bill Callahan's going to be calling the plays, Tim Brown, former great Raider receiver, says that Bill Callahan sabotaged the Super Bowl when he was the head coach of the Raiders. And, it's funny out here. People kind of thought, Bill Callahan, that's the name of the past. We don't have to deal with him anymore, because there were many, many times he would just stick his foot in his mouth. But now he's kind of he's back on the airwaves and dominating sports radio, it's shocking to me that not only does Tim Brown say that a coach in his first opportunity to win a Super Bowl would he sabotage it, but then you have another Hall of Famer in Jerry Rice that comes out and pretty much backs up his story. Here you are, 10 years later, and you're coming out and saying, this is what I think happened back then. It's odd. And if there was a moment where I could jump on the kick Billy C while he's down because of what he did to my beloved Cornhuskers, I would. But this is not it. This is not it. And there's a lot of people out here who don't really like Bill Callahan, but I think most of the people out here realize that this is a little bit of a stretch, that a guy in his chance, the biggest stage in sports, you're going to end up sabotaging, your chances at winning. Now, you can accuse him of being an idiot that changed the game plan 2 days before the Super Bowl, after you've practiced certain plays for the entire week prior. You can question his ability to actually coach or make decisions, which doesn't fare well for Dallas Cowboys fans. But I don't think this guy sabotaged the Super Bowl.
Well, we are going to talk about the Super Bowl next week. And, of course, Jason Peter joins us each and every week right here on the Big E Sports Show. We hit on Manti Te'o, Bill Callahan, and I promise we'll also talk some Lance Armstrong as well. Okay? Plenty to talk about. A lot of storylines. Okay, Jay?
All right. Thanks, Alyssa.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment as we wrap up this weekend's program.